Last week we talked about, in our series on the gospel, we talked about a young man that was offered salvation, but the price was too high. They say that Christianity is a rescue effort for what kind of men?
Desperate.
Desperate men. If you're not desperate, you're probably not real open to the gospel. Or maybe you'll hear the gospel and you want to cover yourself and make sure that you get in, and so you'll pray a prayer. But it wasn't from the heart. So today we're going to look at another kind of man. But I wanted to look at this rescue effort for desperate man. You know, rescue means to free from danger, confinement, or evil. To save and deliver. To take off and deliver by force. And you know, when a guy comes to know Jesus Christ, there's a battle going on in his heart and his mind. And the battle is for this guy's heart and mind. And sometimes Jesus has to take it by force. Sometimes he has to put us in desperate straits before we're going to be open to hear the gospel and the good news in light of the bad news. The good feelings in light of the bad feelings. The hope in light of despair. And that's what the gospel does. I made a list of things the gospel does, as a matter of fact. And there's too many of them to share them all, but I thought I could share a few with you. Marriages are changed when the gospel comes to the house. Look at a guy named Zacchaeus today. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. He was very rich, but salvation came to his house. Last week we talked about a rich young man that the price was too high. When Jesus told him to go and sell everything and give it to poor people and come and follow him, he just considered it too high a price to pay. Zacchaeus was a rich man, and when the young man turned around and walked off, it said, and he was very sorrowful and grieved, and he walked away. And then Jesus turned around to his disciples and say, it's really hard for a rich man to get into heaven. But here we're going to find with Zacchaeus that there was a rich man, and then the disciples said, well, who can be saved then? He said, with man it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That guy that you think is the furthest away from the gospel, that can never come be saved. And I think the Apostle Paul would fit that boat, and so would Zacchaeus here. But God proved that he can do the impossible, because that's what he does. The gospel has the power to raise the spiritually dead to new life. It's a message of peace and grace, mercy and compassion. It stands in the face of wounds, disappointments, losses, and broken hearts, and says, peace, be still. It's a message of the easy yoke and the light burden. It's needed good news that keeps us hopeful in prayer and not giving up. The gospel is the joy in the morning to midnight's weeping, mourning heart. This message gives beauty for ashes. Its power will change fearful hearts and put faith and courage in its place. That gives man a new altered heart, a new perspective and purpose. The gospel brings hope to the hopeless and joy to the downcast. This message makes the lion lay down by the lamb. It can turn enemies into friends and opponents into teammates. The gospel can quench the thirst of the thirsty and so that they'll never thirst again. It satisfies the hungry heart to never hunger again. The gospel has the power to fix those who know they can't fix themselves. By grace, it can rescue those who are perishing, who cannot rescue themselves. You know what it means to be rescued, that the Christianity is a rescue effort? It means to free from danger and confinement or evil, to save and deliver, to deliver by force. Shared that with you a minute ago. And to be desperate means having lost hope, moved by despair, suffering extreme need or anxiety, involving extreme danger or possible disaster, intense anxiety, despondent, forlorn, and hopeless. You know, that's where the man is today, separated from God. We decided in the garden that we didn't want this God ruling over us, that we wanted to be our own God, that we wanted to go our own way, do our own thing. And the devil was right there, fanning the flame, tempting us to go in that direction. And we did, because God created us with an ego and pride. But we had to keep that pride under submission, and we didn't do it. And we fell, and great was the fall. when we fail. Just like the man that built his house on the sand and the winds and the waves and the storms came in and the house fell, and great was its fall. It's a great fall because just like the rich young ruler missed salvation, he had it in his hands. He had it in his ability to have eternal life, and he walked away from it because the price was too high. He loved the world too much. He loved the flesh too much. He was tempted by the devil to find his identity in his things rather than eternal things and in temporary things. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke 19, 1 through 10. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for Passover, and he had an entourage that was following him that generally did because he had become the status of what we call today a rock star. So people were following him around, and he'd go through the cities and the villages. And when they heard he was coming, a great crowd started lining the pathway where Jesus was walking. And it says he entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, because he was vertically challenged. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received Jesus gladly. When they saw it, the crowd began to grumble, saying, "He's gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I'll give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything," I don't know why he said if I have, "I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham." You feel the excitement in that? You feel the enthusiasm, the joy that Jesus had when he shared that? Because he couldn't say that to many rich men. But here's a rich man who humbled himself. Here's a rich man who was desperate. You know, Jesus was following this with this crowd, and a crowd gathered when he came through town. And they had heard about him. They may have heard about him raising Lazarus from the dead in Bethany, which was only about 15 miles from Jericho. It may be that God had prepared Zacchaeus' heart because he may have been a friend of Levi, who turned out to be Matthew, one of the disciples. And Levi was a tax gatherer. And Levi came to know Jesus Christ. Not all tax gatherers were bad guys. They were good guys in a bad guy's mind and will and body. But God has a way of touching those guys and bringing them to himself. God has a way of preparing their hearts for the good news, preparing their hearts for Jesus to come to the place in their life that he needed to come to bring that man down out of that tree. And he called him out of the tree. Now, Zacchaeus had run, and that was below the dignity of a chief tax collector, believe me. For any man to run, much less a guy with his status and wealth. And remember last week we talked about the disciples, when they heard that it's hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven, they said, "Well, who then can be saved?" And the reason was because the Jews in those days, and we in our day as well to a degree, believed that financial wealth was a sign of God's blessing. And I think, I don't know how they worked their theology around a guy like Zacchaeus. And there was a man called Zacchaeus. That word name Zacchaeus means righteous one. It's interesting that he would have gotten a name meaning righteous one, and he was unrighteous as you can get in their culture, the scum of the earth, the lowest on the ladder in that culture. And he was hated. I got a feeling that he was tired of being hated. I got a feeling that his conscience and his shame and his guilt was getting to him. You know what I'm talking about. Look at the guy next to you and say, "Hey, he's talking about you. Listen up." We laugh because it is so true. But on this day, unbeknownst to Zacchaeus, he became a righteous one. He lived up to his namesake. That even a chief publican could be reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. When John's disciples were sent away to follow Jesus, they followed him, and he asked them what they wanted. And they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And that was what Zacchaeus was feeling that day. He had heard about Jesus. I got a feeling he was more than just curious. Have you ever had a guy and you heard him preach or you heard him sing, but you never seen him and you don't know what he looks like? And then when you finally do see him, you go, "Crud, I didn't have any idea he looked like that." That's the way Jesus was. There was nothing about Jesus' appearance that would draw your attention. Isn't it interesting when God created himself as a man that he chose to be an unknown looking man? He didn't come into Jericho on men's shoulders like a lot of religious do. Religious leaders do. He came in as one of us. He dressed like one of us. He was, when guys would come to him and say, "We want to follow you," he says, "I have nowhere to lay my head. The birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." So he wanted to make, he came as a poor Nazareth. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" they said. And so he chose a town that had a bad reputation. He was chose to be born in a manger in an animal stall by a little virgin girl who had no name, and Joseph, the husband, who was a no name. He didn't have any legacy from parents or grandparents. And that's what he chose to come as. So when he came into town, Zacchaeus was curious to see what this guy looked like. And he wasn't impressive when it came to physical appearance. But Zacchaeus had more going on, in my opinion, than that, because I've been where Zacchaeus was. He was desperate. He needed to be rescued. He needed someone to deliver him from the lifestyle and the sin that he had committed and felt guilty about. And so he ran and got up in that tree. And Jesus came to the tree. And it's interesting, Tom pointed this out in a discussion we had about this the other day, that he came to the place, not a place, but the place. Jesus knew where Zacchaeus would be. He even knew his name. Now that's not surprising to us because we know Jesus was God, but Zacchaeus didn't know that. And so when he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down." You know, guys, when you come to know Jesus Christ, you have to come down off your prideful perch. You have to come down from everything that you own, everything that you have, every plan that you've made. You have to give up all that when you come to Jesus Christ. That's why not many are going to come. That's why the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life and few that go therein. But the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many go therein. So it's because to come to Christ, you have to come down. You have to know that you're desperate. You have to humble yourself. You have to understand that you can't fix yourself. There's nothing you can do to change yourself because you've tried and you did succeed. It's like a guy that said, I can stop smoking. I've done it many times. And we all try, but it doesn't last. How many have had that, besides me, have had that experience of trying to stop, but finding out you can't control it, trying to stop your anger? But there it comes again. Your profanity, but here it comes flowing out again. Could be drinking, alcohol, sex, pornography, cheating on your taxes. I mean, we got all kinds of ways that we can sin and stuff to feel guilty and ashamed of. Amen. But the gospel of Jesus Christ comes along and forgives men of their sin, sets them free, puts it behind him as far as the east is from the west. And God's made us messengers for the gospel. He's given us the gospel. And our job is to be good stewards with the gospel that we've been changed by, that we've got freedom from, the sin, the guilt, the shame. We don't have to feel that way anymore. We've got 1 John 1:9, "If you confess your sins, I'll be faithful and righteous to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness." And that's what happened to Zacchaeus that day. He had run, he had climbed a tree. Those are two things that rich people sure didn't do, and the guy with his status in Jericho wouldn't have done. But he was desperate. I don't think he would have done that if he wasn't desperate. And so he was a desperate man. So he hurried and came down and received Jesus gladly. And that's because his heart was prepared. If Jesus were to say to you today, I must come to your house, would you receive him gladly? Or is there a bunch of unconfessed sin and things you got in your house that you don't really want him seeing? You don't want to have him interview your wife or your children. Are you living a life where you can look back with no regret? So that if someone came and accused you of sin, you could say, you're right, brother, I did do that. Would you forgive me? See, you have to come down to do that. You have to own your sin. You have to confess that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. Zacchaeus, come down. Today I must. It wasn't so much an announcement as it was a mandate. I am mandated to come to your house today. Now let me ask you a question. How much control did you have over your own physical birth? We laugh because it's ridiculous to even think about it. You know, it's just as ridiculous to think that you have any control over your own spiritual birth. You had no control over your spiritual birth. You felt guilty. You felt ashamed. You tried to stop. You tried to fix your life. You found all that was dead ends. You couldn't do it. And that hurt your pride that you couldn't do it, that you couldn't stop. That made you disgusted with yourself. Your wife was already disgusted. Your kids may be disgusted. But no one's more disgusted than you for yourself. So how much control did you have over that moment when you came to Christ, if you had a moment? Or that time when you realized that what was missing in your life, that hole in your heart, could only be filled by the Holy Spirit, could only be filled by Jesus Christ. So you had no control over that. I think of my salvation. And when I came, I read a book about a pro Christian ball player. You know my testimony. And in reading that book, in that moment when he said, I met a ball player who was an unashamed Christian, and I realized that I could be a pro ball player. I mean, how much control did I have over that? God led me to the bookstore. He led me to buy the book. I went home. I started reading the book. And then in the process of reading the book, one's comment changed my whole life. I realized I could be a professional ball player and an uncompromising Christian at the same time. That's what I want. And that moment, I had no control over. I just knew that's what I wanted. And the Holy Spirit came into my life. I realized that I knew a lot about Jesus. I'd grown up in church, knew all the stories, walked the aisle, got baptized, but I didn't know him. He knew me. See, Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus, but actually Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. I must come to your house today. So when you got born again, you didn't do it on your own merit. You didn't do it because, you remember my sinner's prayer? God, I'm a total failure at being a sinner. No, I'm very successful at being a sinner. But I'm a total failure at trying to be a Christian. I can't live this Christian life. I can't keep the rules. I know I'm not the man you created me to be. But then I said something that I had no control over, but I want to be. Where'd that come from? Where did the wannabe come from? Do you want to be God's man? Do you want to be a man of God for such a time as this? Do you want to be a good steward of the gospel? Do you want to love your wife in a way that she adores you, protect her, provide for her, take care of her, think of her, hug her, kiss her, romance her, listen to her, take her seriously, understand her? Do you want to be all that? Because you can't be. I mean, I taught Marriage Builder for 15 years before it hit me. This is good stuff, but I'm not living it. I'm living some of it, some of the time. But Lord, I know that Susan is not being loved and cared for and protected and cherished the way she needs to be or deserves to be. So here's my deal. Would you love her through me? Where'd that come from? That came from him putting it in my heart to pray that prayer. The Christian life is not something we do on our own. You cannot. The Christian life is not possible. It's impossible to live. It's not just hard. It's impossible to live. The only way you and I live the Christian life or do anything Christian or blessed is that the Holy Spirit is in us, working it in and through us. And he does that more when we get time in the Word. We're abiding in him. We're fellowship with other guys chasing after Christ. We're becoming men of prayer. And we're committed to the Great Commission. That my marriage and my life is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end of sharing the gospel. Why do you want to have a happy marriage? So that people will look at you and go, whatever you got, I need. It's a mission. It's evangelistic. Why does he tell you to turn the other cheek and go the second mile and bless those who persecute you? Because it's extremely evangelistic when you do that. People are attracted to Christ when a man acts in a totally different way than they've ever seen. And I've told you 50 times, Susan would have never married me if I didn't have that kind of life change. Instead of getting mad and prideful and angry with her when she told me about Armando. I felt compassion for her. I felt sorry for her. I didn't take it personally. Now that's a miracle. And it was the miracle that changed her heart toward me. And God did that. I couldn't do that. I knew something. I was under new management, man. I was under new control. Don't be drunk with wine or Pabst Blue Ribbon, which was my choice. But be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit and the gospel has had its way with you, then you have more praise and more worship. Do you find yourself in worship today when we sing these kind of songs and you're just kind of mouthing the words and you're trying to, well, maybe you want to get through it. Maybe it'll be over soon enough because it's convicting. And you find yourself having a hard time worshiping. You have a hard time praising God and thanking God. Because you're feeling guilty and you're holding on to something you don't want to let go of. And you're not free to worship Him and say, God, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And see, only what God does, He says, my word goes forth and accomplishes that for which I sent it. No preacher is gifted enough to change a soul, to bring conviction, nobody is gifted enough to do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Holy Spirit can bring you and me to a place of repentance and brokenness, to be desperate. Desperate enough to come flying down the road, climbing a tree, to see what Jesus is like. To see where He is. Some guys come curiously to a group like this because they want to know, maybe there I can find Jesus. Maybe there I can find some guys that 'll care about me and love me anyway. But I'm not going to let them know what I'm like, because if I let them know what I'm really like, they wouldn't have me in this group. And I can't remember who said it, but he said, I wouldn't trust any group that let me be in it. Zacchaeus stopped and said, Lord, behold, I'll give half my possessions and all to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, I'll give back four times as much. See, when a man comes to Jesus Christ, he makes restitution. You remember my story about I was in college, had a friend that was working at JCPenney's in the record department. He says, you ought to come in, pick out a couple of records. I'll put them in a sack like you ordered them and they came in and you paid for them. And then the next day you'll come in and see if they're there and I'll just give you the records. You can walk out. Well, it worked. Sounded good to me. Well, meanwhile, I came to know Jesus Christ. Then I was home. I was graduated. I was driving by this mall, and God would say, what are you going to do about those records? And I would say, nothing. Then I'd drive by again. He'd say, what are you going to do about those records? And I'd say, Lord, I told you, I don't feel led to do anything. I'm eating in a restaurant across from the mall. What are you going to do about those records? I don't know why I didn't quit going by the mall. But one day I figured, he ain't ever going to let up on this. I'm going to have to go. So I went into JCPenney's and I went up to a salesperson. I said, could you call the manager? And he called the manager up. I said, I told him what had happened, what I did. He says, what do you want to do? I said, I want to pay for the records. He says, what'd they cost? I don't know. I didn't buy them. I tell you what, let me pay for the most expensive record you have, and I'll pay you twice, and then I'll know it's covered. He says, why are you doing this? I said, I came to know Christ since I stole those records, and I want to clear my conscience. I want to make it right with Him and with you. He started telling me his testimony. He started sharing where he went to church. I'm sure he'd never had a guy come in and do that before. And I'd never had to do that before. And it was a bad experience because I thought I was going to get arrested and thrown in the pokey for Christ. But that's what Zacchaeus wanted. He, you know, the law said if you steal something, you pay back twice. Zacchaeus says, I'm going to pay four times. I'm going to take that thing and double it. Because I am excited about being forgiven. I'm excited about salvation coming to my heart and my house. And there's no price too much to pay. I want to get it right. You ever had to make restitution? Have you ever had to go back and ask somebody's forgiveness? With a room this full of guys, I got a feeling there's some people you need to go to or call. There may be a dad that you never forgave and you need to put him in a chair right now, even though he's passed on. He's not here anymore, but you need to put him in a chair and tell him, say, Dad, I forgive you. Dad, I'm free. That may be what you need to do to get free from that. Because you're not putting him or her in bondage. You're putting yourself in bondage and God wants you to be free. I forgave and set the prisoner free only to find the prisoner was me. That's what the gospel does. It changes and alters. It cleans consciences and relieves guilt and shame. It's the good news for all the bad news that this world dishes out. So what about you and the gospel today? Has Jesus come to your house and said, today I must come to your house? It was a mandate. He had it planned. He knew Zacchaeus before he ever got to Jericho. It was about a two-hour lunch, probably. All the people were standing around. He stands up and says, I want you to know I'm giving half of all I own to the poor. He didn't do that because he needed to or had to. He did it because he was saved. He did it because that's what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts when he comes in. He wants us to make things right. Now, we're not always going to do things right, and we're going to stumble around, say, and think, and do the wrong thing, but God has given us a recourse. He's given us restitution. He's given us forgiveness. He's given us the power and the privilege and the ability to confess our sin, and He'll be faithful, and He'll be righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a deal. What a God. What a Savior we have in Jesus Christ. What a gospel. He planned that gospel out and we would have never, ever thought, I tell you what, let's show these guys we love them. Let's give them something. But what's the most precious thing you can give if you're God? He gave his only son. And now we get to say, can I come down? Would you call me down, Lord, so that I could be that man you created me to be? I'm tired of not being that guy. I think Zacchaeus had to be tired of living that life, that secret life. And for him, it wasn't so secret. For us, we live secret lives. We got stuff we don't want anybody to know about. God wants you to be like me and you. He wants us to be transparent and open and honest and genuine and real. And I think in our heart of hearts, that's what we want as men. But because we won't come down out of that tree, we won't own and own our sin, because we won't become transparent and confess it, not only to Jesus, but to others that we need to make things right with, then we stay crippled in the Christian life. We're not open and our conscience bothers us, so we don't share the gospel. Our pride is not trampled on by us. We haven't agreed with God that we're sinners. And so we stay crippled in the Christian life, and we're not free to share our faith. We're not free to be real and genuine. We have to wear our mask. And aren't you tired of that? Don't you want to be free from that? Don't you want to today just say, Lord, I'm tired of this secret life. I may sin again and I may do it again, but I'm not going to do it in secret. I'm going to do it before you and all of heaven. And I can ask forgiveness and you'll forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And that makes me not want to do it anymore. Next time I'm tempted, I'm not. Next time I'm tempted, I won't. Next time I'm tempted, I did. But I can come to you and you're always there to welcome me. My burden, my load is light. My yoke is whatever it is, light. My burden is light. That's what he does. He lightens those loads. He forgives that sin. He cleanses our conscience. He frees us from guilt. Wouldn't you love to be that man today? And then you're looking for opportunities to share the gospel. You're looking for opportunities to serve and to help and to bless and to give, to nurture, to build up. And you can do that. You can have that freedom. And that's why the church has been criticized today. It's become irrelevant today. Because the guy that walked by many churches to get to D.L. Moody's Sunday school class, and they asked him, remember that? Why don't you go somewhere closer to home? Because those fellers over there love a guy. those fellows over there love me. They accept me. They know me for who I am, and they love me anyway. That's the Spirit of God in a group, in a group like our group, in a heart like your heart. And that's what we're striving for. That's what we're after. We're after for the gospel to be the major thing that drives us in our life, the major motivation for doing what you do. And would you come down this morning? I'm going to close in prayer. If you want to come down, if you've got any reason that you want to come down and make peace with Jesus and let him bring peace into your heart, you want to come down and confess something you need to confess. And I love teaching because I had to get all this done before I got up here. Yeah, I'm accountable to do that. So let's just pray right now. And join hands with one of your brothers. And Father, that's what we're doing right now. Thank you for calling us out of our trees so that we'll have to come down and welcome you gladly into our hearts. And today we do that for guys that want to be set free today. They've got a secret life. They've got stuff going on. They wouldn't want that on the video this morning. We all have that. But thank you for being the God who understands, the God who's patient and loving and kind and merciful and gracious. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for cleansing us. God, we want to have moral authority. We want to have spiritual zeal in our lives. We don't want to just go through the rest of our lives shadow boxing and hitting nothing. We want to see revival break out. We want to see men's lives change, marriages healed, bodies healed, people having a joyful noise, something that only the Holy Spirit can do. Thank you for saving us, those of us who are saved. Thank you for putting it in our hearts. Thank you for meeting us at the place we needed to be, and you met us there. Thank you for being such a great God, and thank you for a wonderful Savior in Christ and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the guide to all truth. We thank you for all you've given us and all you've poured out. The least we can do is lay our lives before you. Say, Father, help yourself. And we do that now in Jesus' name. And all God's men said,
amen.
Go give them heaven, guys.